It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Hopefully, you are having a fantastic week so far. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Coming up a little later, there's a ton of geek news, especially in the DC film universe. There's been a lot of casting over the last couple days. Some of it major roles that they haven't made, you know, really a big deal about. But we'll break down all that casting, as well as some big Marvel movies changing release dates. All that coming up in just a little bit. But I wanted to start with the story that's kind of been everywhere, and that's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch story. This is easily one of the strangest stories to come along in a long, long time, and mostly just because of the levels of this story. Like, it's one where the more layers you peel back, the odder it gets. So at its heart, it's a guy that bought a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and found shrimp tails in it, or that's what he claims. And he, you know, tweeted out a picture and said, hey, what's with shrimp doing in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they fired back and said, actually, that's just an accumulation of the cinnamon sugar, you know, and it kind of looks like a shrimp tail. It really looks like a shrimp tail, to be honest. He apparently emptied out the box even more and found string, dental floss, and little black dots, which he thinks is rat poop. So, his theory is that a rat got into the bag and, you know, this was kind of the stuff that the rat was bringing back. Maybe the rat was making it his home. He's taking the shrimp tails to a lab for DNA testing. Now, you're going, who is this guy that has money to go to a lab? His name is Jensen Karp. He's a TV writer, a comedian. And then on top of that, so he works in the entertainment industry and he comes up with this crazy story. So right away, you kind of get like, I don't want to say a red flag, but you go, well, that's kind of weird. He's also married to Danielle Fishel, who played Topanga on Boy Meets World. So there's another level to this one. And so he's taken this shrimp tail stuff to a DNA lab. I can only imagine that lab is not very thrilled right now. It's like, well, we've got this pile of unsolved murder case DNA that we have to go through over here. Oh, but the guy that's married to Topanga needs to find out if he's got shrimp in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Drop everything. Let's get on this. I can just see some lab assistant really hating his life at work that day. But and then it gets even further. Now that this guy's become internet famous, this Jensen Karp guy, some of his ex-girlfriends are coming out and trying to basically cancel him on the internet for being a creep. It's, you know, it's like you get posts on it where it's like, what you may not know is that he's a very manipulative, narcissistic ex-boyfriend. And just so now, because maybe we don't know the results of the DNA test yet, but perhaps this guy just got really unlucky and had shrimp tails in a Cinnamon Toast Crunch and decided to share that with the world. Now his personal private life is being drug out into the world. The layers of this story are absolutely insane. And he's a writer. If he was smart, he would just start writing this as a TV movie now. Somebody needs to, because there's money to be made with this story. And I also kind of sit there and think, let's go with his theory. Let's assume it's, you know, shrimp tails in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So my mind goes to one of two possibilities. One, he's right. It could just be a rat. And at that point, his issue would not be with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right? Because that could have happened at the grocery store that he purchased the Cinnamon Toast Crunch at. I doubt he has a direct line from General Mills, the cereal manufacturer, to his home. And the other possibility is Cinnamon Toast Crunch was just trying to go old school Cracker Jack, you know, little prize inside. And they didn't really think about it and didn't know what to put in there. So they went with shrimp tails, string, and dental floss. You know, not every prize was a winner. You know, sometimes you got a prize and you were like, that's what I fucking got? All right. Yeah. I'm going to be very curious to see how this plays out. And if it was shrimp tails, I think it's become the most pressing question of 2021. We have some Bigfoot news on the show. No, he has not been found, but one state is trying to make it so that he gets found. and that's Oklahoma. Oklahoma has, or at least is trying to, pass a law where you can get a bounty on Bigfoot up to $2.1 million if you can bring Bigfoot safely in. So there's a couple of rules that go down with this, of course. The first one is you must capture Bigfoot unharmed, which I'm sure will be easy. I mean, we can't get a clear fucking picture of this guy, and you're just going to be able to go like, hey, Bigsy, what are you doing? You know what? Why don't you come with me? I want to take, we're going to go down to the police station. You're not going to get arrested, okay? Totally not going to get arrested, but I just need you to come with me because I need to bring you in unharmed. Just, people want to meet you. You know, they want to hear your story, maybe give you a shower, a little haircut, something like that, but come with me. Maybe nobody's tried that angle yet, and maybe that's all it's going to take. So that's step rule kind of one for the Bigfoot bounty, is that you have to bring them in unharmed. You also obviously can't injure anyone else, so you can't use your annoying cousin as bait or something like that. And you also can't break any laws in the process of trying to get Bigfoot. According to the guy behind this, he said, you know, we've got to have some language in there. We have to make sure that we protect Bigfoot and that we protect the public so nobody is injured. The second part is where I'd be concerned. I don't think anybody's necessarily going to be able to hurt Bigfoot. First off, we don't even know if he's real. But secondly, seems to have gone centuries without being hurt by us. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, there are some idiots out there that would probably hurt other people in the process. So the current plan is to allow businesses along Oklahoma Highway 259A, which runs through Beavers Bend State Park, they're going to be able to sell annual Bigfoot tracking permits. What a genius way for this government to make some money. And profit from the sales are all going to stay in local communities. Basically, there's going to be tourism now. This is really smart on their part. There's going to be tourism going to Oklahoma. Why else would you want to go to Oklahoma? And you're going to be able to buy a Bigfoot tracking permit and try to find Bigfoot. It's essentially buying a lottery ticket. Really. I actually think you might have better odds of winning this than winning the lottery. Like, you know, $2 million bounty? Sounds good to me. I just feel bad for Bigfoot now. Now, you know, he's never really done anything to anybody. Now he's got a price on his head. That makes me very, very sad. I hope Bigfoot has some strong legal representation if he does get brought in. Let's move on to geek news. As I said, there's quite a bit of it. We're going to, it's really mostly just Marvel and DC this week. Star Wars was pretty quiet. Not a whole lot going on the Star Trek front. Although William Shatner's birthday happened, and he did an interview and he said he's never watched Star Trek, which, you know, if I'm William, that's not something I say, because that's just going to piss off my fan base. Really, like if I was a massive Star Trek fan, I'm a passive Star Trek fan. If I was a real massive hardcore Star Trek fan and Kirk was my favorite and I loved William Shatner and blah, 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 and then he just came out and went, yeah, I never watched the show, it would hurt. That would be like a punch in the gut. You know, so you shouldn't, I don't think you should have said that. So nothing, not much happening there. So we'll start with Marvel, who has moved some movie release dates around. We're going to start with Black Widow. It has been pushed back yet again. It is going to finally come out. I feel pretty confident about this one. July 9th, and they're going to do it the way they did Mulan and a couple other releases, where they're going to do theaters and Disney Plus. Which makes me shake my head a little bit, because the whole point of Marvel and Disney pushing back Black Widow like they did was to eventually just do a theatrical release. They were dead set against a streaming release, and now they're doing the hybrid both release. It's like you could have done that months ago, so you didn't necessarily have to keep pushing Black Widow back as far as you did. But anyway, July 9th is the new date for that. And when that comes out, that actually marks, it's going to be about 2 years and a week since there's been a Marvel movie in theaters. It's kind of crazy to think, because they haven't gone a year without a film since Iron Man. So you know, kind of crazy when you think about it. Shang-Chi has been moved back till September 3rd. The interesting thing I find about that date is 2 weeks later is when you get Venom 2. So September could become a bit of Marvel overload, and I actually think that that might hurt Shang-Chi a little bit, being that close to Venom. We'll see if Venom moves, or maybe they reshift Shang-Chi again a little bit, but that's when we're looking at that, September 3rd, and the Eternals didn't move. It stays November 5th is when the Eternals will be hitting theaters. Of course, Falcon and the Winter Soldier has started its run on Disney Plus. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I want to. I do. It's one of the Disney shows I'm most interested in. Probably this and Loki. And I'm anxious to check it out. But it debuted strong. And when I say strong, I mean most watched series premiere on Disney Plus. So that counts WandaVision, Mandalorian, all those. Falcon and Winter Soldier topped them all. And great news for them. And I, you know, so good, strong start for Falcon and Winter Soldier. And let's switch over now to DC. The casting department over there is putting in overtime because they've done a lot of casting over the last couple days. They've also hired some writers. We'll start with that. Emerald Fennell, who was behind Promising Young Woman. She's also directed that film. She has been tapped to write Zatanna, but not direct, at least not as of now. And I see it that there's no director attached to Zatanna. I think it's a possibility they may just ask her to do both in the long run, but she's at least going to be writing the story. Very excited for this. Zatanna is a keystone character when it comes to the magical corner of the DC world. So they need to get this one right. I like the cast or the hiring of Emerald Fennell to write it. Again, hopefully they ask her to direct it as well. I actually think that would work out really well. Into the casting news, one that came out of nowhere, and this one's really weird. Helen Mirren, fantastic actress, she has joined the Shazam sequel, Fury of the Gods, and she's going to be playing a character called Hespera. Now, Hespera, not in DC Comics. Like, not, there's no Hespera to compare her to, which, you know, in some ways is great. She doesn't have anything to live up to. Not that Helen Mirren couldn't live up to expectations, but I'm not sure where they're going with this Shazam sequel. Of course, it is called Fury of the Gods. Hespera does exist in, you know, mythology. She's the daughter of Atlas, if I remember correctly, but it's a huge actress for a unknown role. So interesting that Shazam is creating new characters when there's so many Shazam characters that have yet to be fully tapped. So interesting move there. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I have no question about the talent involved with it, though. Again, Helen Mirren, fantastic actress. Continuing with the casting news, we got a lot of it, as I said, a lot in the Flash movie. Of course, we found out that Billy Crudup was not going to be able to continue portraying Henry Allen as he had some scheduling conflicts with his show that he does for Apple TV that he won awards for and whatnot. So Ron Livingston is going to replace Billy Crudup as Henry Allen. And that's not the only cast added to the Flash film. Ian Lowe, he's going to play young Barry Allen. And then Saoirse Monica Jackson and Rudy Mancuso have also been cast, but they don't know, or they haven't released, I should say, what roles those people will be playing in the film. And Michael Keaton was talking about the Flash movie recently and how it got out that he was returning as Batman. And he kind of pumped the brakes on it a little bit and said, well, yeah, maybe. I haven't really looked at it yet. I'm kind of hip deep in this project I'm working on right now, so I haven't really dived into the Flash thing yet. And, you know, he's like, can't really say that I'll be in it. So he's like, I haven't really said yes yet. The offer's there, but I'm busy right now and I'll get to it. Which is kind of a little disheartening, but my guess is that this is just him deflecting the question. I mean, we already got concept art of Flash in a new suit designed by Michael Keaton's Batman, supposedly, with Michael Keaton's Batman. And yes, it's concept art, and that doesn't mean anything, and things change from concept art to screen, but I think it would be very irresponsible of Warner Brothers to release concept art like that, let it get out there that Michael Keaton was returning as Batman as part of the multiverse that Flash is going to be traveling through. You know, the whole story's coming out that Michael Keaton's Batman is going to become like a mentor to the DC cinematic universe, kind of the same way Iron Man was in the Marvel one. I think it's very, if that was to all come out and they didn't have Michael Keaton locked down and Michael Keaton changed his mind, it's not quite like you can just call Val Kilmer. It, you know, Keaton is a special, special Batman. So that would be very, very irresponsible of them to let all that hit the press and not have Michael Keaton locked down. So I have to think it's a done deal. This is just Michael Keaton, you know, again, going, don't look at what's in my left hand. Look what's in my right hand. The project I'm working on right now, not the Flash one that I'm going to go do after I'm done over here. That's what I have to think it is. Otherwise, somebody needs to be fired at Warner Brothers. If it went down the road that they released all this and Michael Keaton was like, no, I can't do it. I'm too busy, or I want to pass on it. It's not really what I want to do. And it comes out that he's never in that movie. Whoever was behind this idea, fired. Sorry, you done fucked up, because you got a lot of people excited and it would be hard to be unexcited. It would be hard to go see that Flash movie. And let's say they got George Clooney's Batman instead. You know, it'd be hard to be excited about that. And in the back of your mind, always going, this was supposed to be Michael Keaton. Damn it. You know, so they better be Michael Keaton. And some more casting news. The Black Adam film, of course, they cast most of the main players. However, they hadn't cast Dr. Fate yet, and they announced that last night. Pierce Brosnan is going to be Dr. Fate. I'm very, very excited for this. Dr. Fate, one of my favorite characters in the DC world. He's going to be playing the Kent Nelson version, which is kind of the most classic version of Dr. Fate. And I like that they got an older guy to do it. Kent Nelson's been an older guy. Other people have taken up the mantle of Dr. Fate. Kind of whoever puts on the cloak, amulet, and helmet of Naboo becomes Dr. Fate, a master of magic with incredible abilities. So he can be Pierce Brosnan. And then when he put, you know, maybe they get a younger guy in there for the stunt work. But it's just, I think, you know, Pierce Brosnan has the aura of a Kent Nelson. I'm really, really looking forward to this. This rounds out the Dr. Fate cast, or pardon me, the Black Adam cast incredibly well. And DC has said they have big plans for Dr. Fate. So whether that means it's all going to be Kent Nelson, maybe the mantle gets passed on to a younger version of the character at some point along the line. But the fact that we got such a really cool actor, probably my favorite James Bond. When I think about all the Bonds, I really dug Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. He's going to be Dr. Fate. That is really, really sweet news. So my excitement for the Black Adam movie has climbed even more. I can't wait for this film. And of course, we can't talk about DC without some more talk about the Snyder Cut. It's doing incredibly well on HBO Max. It's doing well with critics. It's doing well with fans. Everybody is loving the Snyder Cut, myself included. I've watched the whole movie start to finish once, is what I had time for, but I've gone back and watched certain sequences and certain moments again. I love the epilogue with Leto's Joker and Batman. It's just such a great back and forth dialogue, and Leto's Joker is just creepy. Like, just really, really creepy. Almost Manson-like at times, Marilyn Manson-like. And the laugh is unnerving. I know some people don't like his laugh, but I enjoy his laugh on the level that it's psychotic and that it is uncomfortable. And I kind of like that. It's very horror movie based, Leto's version of the Joker, especially in the Justice League film. But of course, this has now led to, you know, people saying we need to restore the Snyderverse. We need to get the Justice League sequels. And Warner Media, they basically said no. But that doesn't close the door on it. I think there's a good chance HBO Max is going to want to keep the Snyderverse going if they can. You know, if Zach is willing to do it, if some of the actors are willing to do it, I think it would be a great attraction for Warner. I mean, you look at the other streaming services. Obviously, Disney has Star Wars and Marvel. It's hard to top that. And that's why basically Disney Plus subscribers are kind of shooting through the roof and beating their projections is because they have two of the biggest franchises in the history of franchises that they're creating original content for. You know, Netflix has some of their own shows that people are pretty loyal to, like, you know, The Witcher and stuff like that. So they have some, not on the level of what Disney has, obviously. Nobody is going to have that level, especially since Disney has two on that level, not to mention Disney stuff, you know, Mickey Mouse and whatnot. So HBO Max needs something like that. And DC Comics makes a whole lot of sense to be one of their flagship kind of things. And if you want to keep the Snyderverse going there, it makes total sense. So I think that's a great place for, you know, Deathstroke, Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke to show up. You know, if Ben Affleck wants to do his Batman thing, maybe he could do it for HBO Max. Obviously, if you want to do the Snyder Cut sequels, you could do that. It's going to be a little messy, obviously, because Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, those characters are continuing on in the theatrical world, basically. So there's going to be some cross-contamination, but I think you can deal with that. And I think you can handle it if you get the right people involved. So we'll see where they go. I think it's in HBO Max's best interest to keep DC stuff there. And I know the plan is to have DC properties there, but this Snyderverse has a built-in fan base, so it would be silly to ignore that. And Ann Sarnoff, who is the Warner Media Studio CEO, she was doing an interview about it, and she basically said that this was a one-off for the Snyder Cut, and they asked her if they were going to do Ayer's cut of Suicide Squad, and she was like, no, we're not going to develop that. And again, it's like, why not? Like, David Ayer has said that his movie and his version of Suicide Squad is like more complete than Zack Snyder's version of Justice League was. So it would be an easier job for them to finish off the air cut and put it out. And again, you need content. All these streaming services, that's what they're going for. Content is king. And if you've got easy content, like a super great cut of Suicide Squad, why not just do it? You know, if it's not going to cost you much money, do it. It's going to get keep subscribers going. Even David Ayer just responded to a tweet quoting the article saying that they weren't going to develop it. He was just like, why? Like, why not? It really makes zero sense to not explore the possibilities with HBO Max and giving us the air cut and maybe keeping the Snyderverse going. It really doesn't make much sense to me. Hopefully somebody there gets their shit together and goes, okay, we really have to treat these properties with a lot of respect. And again, like, you know, I've thought about this Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League for a long time since I've watched it. It's kind of playing in my mind. And while there are things I can nitpick about it, by no means do I think it is perfect. There are definitely some beats in it I probably would have changed. And there are some things in the Snyderverse that I would love to change based on what he has said about where he wants to go with the movies if he ever got a chance to do them, or what his plan was. And there are definitely some beats in there that I would want to change. But overall, in that movie, the biggest thing that stood out to me was he treated each character with a ton of respect and dignity and with the gravitas that those characters carry, right? Like, you know, we're talking about Superman, Batman, you know, the most recognizable superheroes in the genre. And he gave them all their time, all their due, and were treated them with a lot of respect. And so I think that's what Warner needs to do. Whether they continue the Snyderverse or not, it's treat these characters with respect. It's what Marvel does well most of the time. I will argue they don't treat Thor with respect. But it's Marvel, even with the jokes crammed in there, for the most part, they treat the characters very, very well. And that's what DC needs to start doing. So hopefully that is their motto going forward. And hey, you know, continue the Snyderverse on HBO Max and give us the air cut while we're at it. We deserve kind of that version of Suicide Squad. That will do it for this week's edition of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and telling everybody about it. Please tell your friends, continue to tell your friends about the show. It means a whole lot to me. And until we chat again, have a great week.